Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Today, the topic that I will share with you is Dhammantaraya. Karma that hinders Dhamma practice. What is this Dhammantaraya? It comes from the word Dhamma and Antaraya. Means Antaraya. Means hindrance, obstacle, or danger. Hindrance, or obstacle, or danger. It refers specifically to the karma, the volitional actions of body, speech, and mind that creates obstacle to the practice and realization of the Dhamma. So these hindrances are not merely external misfortunes. It's not about giving you only good luck or whatever. There are, of course, karma, bad karma, all bad karma produce bad result. It can give you misfortune, you do bad, but this Dhammantara is specifically not only give you misfortune, have to suffer that vipaka, it refers to the karma that can obstruct Dhamma realization. Okay? And can cause a person unable to attain the path and fruition. It can even obstruct Uttari Manasa Dhamma, superhuman state, including jhana also. Depends on what kind of Dhammantaraya that one has created. The most severe form of Dhammantaraya is Anantarika Kama. Anantarika Kama. Anantarika Kama, the five severe karma that can cause immediate results. What are the five? Matricide, killing an arahant, wounding a Buddha. No one can kill the Buddha. You can only wound the Buddha, causing the Buddha to shed blood. And causing schism in the Sangha. It's also translated as five great evils. Five great evils. Okay. It is also given, five great evil. It's also called Mahapatthana. Mahapatthana. Patricide. Killing one's father. Matricide. Killing one's mother. Killing an arahant. Killing a fully enlightened being, an arahant. Fourth is actually causing harm the Buddha, harming the Buddha. Harming the Buddha, causing the Buddha to shed blood, harming the Buddha. And then the fifth, causing schism in the Sangha, making the Sangha split, quarrel, and fighting. Of course, there are certain definitions how to complete the schism. But anyway, if it's a complete schism, for example, you have your Patimukha, you fight with each other, you make the Sangha split, that's very serious. But there are also similar, some may not constitute complete schism, but still the result can be very severe. So this is the first type of Dhammantaraya. Whoever has committed such an act, no way to attain jhana, magapala, no way. And if some such a person, the action, the result, there is sure to happen. Immediate life have to go to suffer in hell. No way, no other way. This severe karma series will ripen. Sure to ripen. Nothing to block. It need to be exhausted before other good karma can have a chance to ripen. So this is very severe. Killing father, mother, killing arahant, causing the Buddha to shed the blood, and causing a split in the Sangha. So the most, one example is King Ajatasattu. He killed his father. You know, King Ajatasattu was the son, the prince of King Bimbisara. And you know that King Bimbisara was a Sotapan, the first stage of sainthood. A very virtuous king. But under the instigation of Devarata. Devarata said, I kill the Buddha, I will be the Buddha, and you kill your father, you can be the king. What's the purpose? What's the good, so good about being a king after at old age? Be a king at young age, and you can enjoy life. So something like that. So because of that, at the instigation of the Devarata, that's why when you associate with bad friend, it's very dangerous. Then he throw his father into the prison. And then his father, and then try to starve his father to death. But his mother, when he visit the prison, and try to put the oil or ghee or something on the body, so that couldn't bring food. So make the food stuck on the body and let the father lick, so that can sustain the life a little bit, some nourishment. And then this King Bimbisara got his joy looking from the window, look at the Sangha passing by outside the prison. Even this, then he realized his father sustained his dead life in that way, even cut off the leg of the father, so that he had no chance to stood and see the Sangha, get inspiration and joy. So bad. Then one night, when his own son was born, he was so happy. Oh, my son was born. Then suddenly he realized his father must be very happy when he was born. Then he felt the heart of a father. Then he said, where's my father? How's my father now? But too late. By the time he searched for his father in the prison, tried to get news from about his father passed away. Too late. And he suffered so much remorse. He suffered so much, so severe remorse, and pain, heartache. And one fine night, he was thinking, who can, which sage in the world can calm my heart and appease my feeling? And then people suggest this and other ascetics, but he was not happy. He was keep quiet until the Jivaka, the doctor of the king, also doctor for the Sangha. Then he say, you should go and visit the Buddha. Then he knew only the Buddha could say something to appease his mind. So he went to the Buddha, and the Buddha gave him the discourse about the fruits of the recluse, Samanyapala Sutta. And after giving the discourse, he left with the mind calm. Then the Buddha said, it's finished, this king. He could have attained Sotapatti Magga, first stage of sainthood, listening to such a sutta. But because he has killed his father, he has no chance, no hope. So see how serious it is, this kind of karma. Karma, anantarika karma, very severe. Also, we also known as Mahapatthana, the five great evils. So, patricide, killing father, matricide, killing mother, killing arahant, causing the Buddha to shed blood, and then the schism, splitting the Sangha, very serious. In fact, Devarata also, Devarata committed to schism and causing the Buddha to shed blood. So too, very serious. But anyway, the Buddha said, these two of them, after coming out from the hell, sometime in future, they will become Paccika Buddha. So, don't underestimate the good karma. It's possible sometime in future. So we don't look down at anybody, no matter how evil it is, don't look down at people. One fine day, the person, after exhausting all the bad karma, can rise up again. There's a hope. But it's too painful. They will suffer horribly in hell. So other than that, what other karma? What other kind of karma can be Dhammantaraya? One is despising the saints. Despising the arahants, anagami, sakadagami, sotapan. You say bad about the saints, arahant. You say bad about them, anything, look down on them. Then there can be an obstacle for higher attainment. There was a story, goes that way. There was one monk, they went to the village for alms round. Then coming back, that old monk, he suffered some kind of stomach ache, some kind of severe difficulty. And he knew he need to quickly eat so that to ease his pain. By the roadside, he took his food, he sat down by the roadside and started eating. Then this young monk saw and said, "Well, this old monk, you don't feel shameful. You can't even go back and eat. You have to eat high by the roadside. So you cannot hold your hunger a bit. Then go back and eat. Why eat at the roadside? And then look at the monk and say like that. Then that old monk asked him, also, friends, how is your standing in the Dharma? How far have you gone in the Dharma? He said, "I'm a sotapan." Then that monk told him, "You don't need to practice any further because you have offended one who has no more taints, one a taintless person, means he's an arahant." It's not because of greed for food. He stopped at the roadside and eat. He was actually due to hunger. Due to the kind of illness, stomach illness, he need the food to comfort it. It's not wrong that way when in on a special occasions. But this young monk, out of love for the Dhamma, thinking that a monk should not behave like that. You should not eat at the roadside. You should hold your hunger, go back to your monastery and eat. In that sense, it's correct. But the way he talked about the arahant, despite the arahant, then the arahant told him, you have offended a taintless person, told him. Then he realized his mistake, immediately apologized. This kind of bad karma can be overcome by asking for forgiveness. If you ask for forgiveness, it is still bad karma, but it's not Dhammantaraya. Okay? The first, five great evils, Mahapatthana, there were no hope. Whatever you do, you cannot change. The nature of that karma, it is a Dhammantara, it is an obstruction. No way a person can attain anything until that karma get exhausted. Okay? But this second type, despising an arahant, despising a saint, if you ask forgiveness, then if you are forgiven, then it's okay. That is okay. But still the karma, that bad karma is still there. Just that it is not Dhammantaraya. Okay? So, when you ask forgiveness, when you commit such a Dhammantaraya, you can ask forgiveness and then be free from the obstacle to attain higher Dhamma. But the karma is still the karma. The karma of offending is still there. But anyway, in the text, it is also given, if you can't meet the person to apologize in person, you may also apologize, go to the graveyard of that person, and then bow, ask forgiveness. This is also one way, if a person has died. If not, there are various ways. One way, if you go to the Sangha, to represent, when you have no access to that person for some reason, maybe you cannot access to the person to ask forgiveness in person. You can also meet the Sangha as a whole and to represent everything and ask forgiveness. That's also one way then to clear off everything. Dhammantaraya, obstacle. So be careful. So it is good to respect everybody. Don't offend anybody. Don't look down and thinking that this person practices, it cannot be, be criticized. Actually, it's no good. In fact, criticizing anybody with a bad mind is also no good. But if it's a teacher, a lecturer, a student, that's different. But if you, that's with wholesome mind, with compassion. But if you use a critical, criticize mind with anger, with unhappy state of mind, then if you happen to offend the Arya, there's a problem. If not also, there are karma. You see, why should we commit such a karma of despising people? No good. So cultivate the habit now, because you don't know who is the Arya, you don't know. Especially in the spiritual world, you don't know. Some Arya can be just as common as ordinary people behave ordinarily. In Pao, I knew one monk, practice. I believe he was passed away already. He was Arya. What he did, he didn't teach. After he has attained, he just did the plumbing. Your kuti, anybody's kuti, the water leaking, he came around to help do all the job. Because that was the work he did before he practiced high. So he did just as common person. But there was an Arya. No joke, so don't play around. Sometimes they can be that humble, just do ordinary work. Because not every Arya are skillful in teaching. So they just do. Very humble, just do live their life as they used to live. Nothing special. But don't play around. These are Arya. So the right way is to regard everyone with respect. If people commit anything that unpleasant to your eyes, don't go around to attack people. If you want, out of love and compassion, you want to advise a person, it's fine. But don't with an evil mind, anger mind, angry mind, attacking people. That's not always no good. Okay? And also don't create a bad karmic link. So talking about Dhammantaraya, there's another type of hindrance is simply say a wrong thing about Dhamma. This is dangerous. I remember some people say, jhana is no good, or is this era not possible to attain jhana. So things like that, to that directly or indirectly affecting people's faith and effort to strive towards the wholesome Dhamma. That is Dhammantaraya. In fact, I did some small mistake like that, some kind of this in the past also. When I was taught saying that if you attain jhana, it will be very difficult to see anicca, dukkha, anatta because pain. Too much pain when you have experienced all the peace and good experience. How to look at the pain? You cannot look at pain. So no way to practice, difficult to practice vipassana. So I was taught like that. So because of that, having faith in the teacher, I also say the same thing to others. I heard like that, my teacher taught me like that, so I tell you like that. So, later, when I look at the suttas myself, luckily I checked the suttas, wherever the Buddha thought about Samma Samadhi, wherever the Buddha thought about Samma Samadhi, the Buddha always say first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana. Just like what you saw in the Mahasatipatthana Sutta. When the Buddha mentioned Samma Samadhi, first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana. So I was puzzled, see. I said, how come? If jhana caused you more difficult to see reality, anicca, dukkha, anatta, then why the Buddha taught it? Everywhere in the Tipitaka, everywhere, the Buddha talked about jhana, the importance of jhana, the incredible potential of jhana power. So I took back my words. I did not comment any more further on that. Later, when I went to Pa'o, then I realized that people who have attained jhana can see anicca, dukkha, anatta with greater details. And later we practice ourselves. We know, you know, we don't worry about getting jhana. If you want to worry, you worry about your jhana not established firm enough. That if you have strong concentration, you can see anicca, dukkha, anatta in greater details. When we talk about anicca, dukkha, anatta, that dukkha doesn't refer to the dukkha, the gross pain, you know. It refers mainly to sankhara dukkha, the elements arising and passing away nature, the oppressive nature of arising and passing away. That is dukkha. So the more concentration, the deeper concentration you cultivate, you can penetrate those nature more thoroughly and complete. So be careful. If you are not so sure about the Dhamma, check with those who know, let those who are real experts talk about it. But sometimes we find it very sad, people who are, who like to be authority, you know. That's a problem. When you end up, you present yourself as a authority of the Dhamma and capable of answering all types of questions, then you are in great danger. You see, when we don't know, don't answer. That's a very important attitude. Don't simply talk about Dhamma without sufficient knowledge. In fact, if you go by Pariyatti alone, you cannot know the Dhamma thoroughly. Pariyatti only takes, you argue about the historian, talks about this and that. No use. There's no sufficient proof to prove that this is right or wrong. The best, you see, Pariyatti. You need, the Buddha not only taught us Pariyatti. Pariyatti is a bookish knowledge, reading, hearing about it. Patipatti, real direct practice. Samatha and Vipassana, practice. And Pativeda, realization. It is through realization that we can verify the teaching of the Buddha. That's the best way to verify the teaching. Instead of just go by theory and historical historians investigation, and you come to a conclusion, this is Dhamma, this is not Dhamma. That's very dangerous. What else will be Dhammantaraya? If you want to say hindering anything, all unwholesome states are also hinders. Okay, in a general sense. All unwholesome state, all akusala hinders our Dhamma practice. But to say that it obstruct means it stop you. It cannot attain higher. That is like the first five, and then despising the saints and despising the Dhamma. That can be serious, hindering you from attaining. But to say give you more difficulty to attain, yes, all kind of unwholesome state, if you don't let go, then it's a problem. But for the first type, the killing father, mother, killing arahants, shedding the blood of the Buddha, causing pain in the Buddha, shedding the blood of the Buddha, and then schism, splitting the Sangha, these are no hope. These are no hope. And then saying about the wrong thing about Dhamma, about the Aryas, the saints, this one you can apologize. Apologize, asking for forgiveness, this one can cure. But that karma still karma, but at least not obstruct your path, your attainment, your realization. But if you say make it difficult for you to attain, all defilements, small, big, also cause a problem to your attainment. Yeah, for example, more difficult to practice jhana. If you don't forgive people, of course it obstructs you. It hinders you. But not in the sense of this kind of adamantarya that block you. Okay. So we should regard unwholesome states in this way. The serious one, never do. And then if you happen to make mistakes about Dhamma and Arya, ask forgiveness. And then if you, for other minor defilements, also try prevent. Every single defilement actually make life more difficult for us to attain higher Dhamma. Okay. So talking about asking for forgiveness, usually all teachers will always forgive. But in the Vinaya, it said, sometimes a teacher can hold back a forgiveness. It doesn't mean, of course, any wise teacher will know, if you don't forgive people, you hurt yourself. Always forgive in heart. To forgive in form, then the teacher has a right to hold back. Because if you keep repeating the same mistake, of course the teacher must teach the students to behave. That's one way. Then another type of mistake is, before you commit, you say, please, forgive me, you want to commit this wrong thing. This is too bad. This one cannot. This cannot. Too bad. There's no such thing as asking for forgiveness first and commit the wrong later. No such thing. So all kinds of unwholesome states does cause a problem to our cultivation of Dhamma. So in this sense, you can say hinders, but not in that sense of make you unable to attain until you make amends. So be conscientious, be careful, do not take defilements lightly. Don't take defilements lightly. And learn to respect everybody, be kind to everybody, like that. That's the safest way. Actually, when we judge other people, we accuse people, what benefit do we get? Nothing. Isn't it so? So why do such thing? No use. So learn to avoid harsh speech or accusing kind of speech. Don't do that. So the best is always respect everybody, love everybody. Don't simply get used to the habits of critical mind, judging. No use. Some people like the job of public prosecutor. Anyone like that? I remember when I was in the first year in the university, we were talking to seniors. We say, would you like to be a public prosecutor? He said, no, I don't want that kind of mindset. Once you develop that kind of mindset, you tend to develop the habits to look for loopholes, to look for people's mistakes. He said, I don't want to live a life like that. That senior's advice, response to me, to my answers, actually enlightened me a bit. Then I realized that, as a lawyer, if you choose the profession of public prosecutor, you may have the prosecution minded. So for that reason, I have a second thought about the role. Any questions? So our Xiaolei is asking a question. If it's Arya, Seka Arya. Seka Arya means the saints under training, which refers to Sotapan, Sakadagami, and Anagami. If they commit some mistake, they are capable of committing mistake because they still have some residual defilements in the mind. So if you see them find a mistake, if someone despise or attack, despise, then will he commit the bad karma? Yes. Why? Because if you regard the anybody, not to say regard the Arya, regard anybody with unwholesome state of mind, that's also bad karma. Even ordinary person, you regard the ordinary person with that kind of state of mind, with anger, with accusing mind, yeah, you still have bad karma. Because of the mind, the thought process. The thought process is akusala citta, cetasika, unwholesome mind. That's the bad karma. So if that receiver is an Arya, then you get it. So the right way is correct. That if you think that Arya is imperfect, has made some mistake, you go and regard, correct him or her correctly, respectfully. So this is not right, venerable. This is not good. Okay. Correct the person. Not attack the person. Not despise the person. So it is good to cultivate. Don't indulge in any form of defilements to anybody. That's the best way. Okay. It doesn't only mean slander. If you have the unwholesome state of mind, regard the saints, it's also no good. Also a kind of hindrance. Yeah. But the worst it is when you slander, which is terrible, what is not true about the saints. Of course, there is more serious. But even if what is true, you speak it with great defilements, with defilements, with unwholesome state of mind, that is bad enough. That's no good. So he's asking her, if you look at Arya and thinking that, oh, this is so fierce, huh? I'm very afraid of him. So what happened to you? Depends on your mind, lah. If there's just your perception, not so bad. But if you come to a conclusion with unwholesome state of mind, with your rejection, with anger, that's no good, lah. But usually, Arya don't look like that. But sometimes the perception can be distorted and can be caused by maybe your karma with the person. Because of past karma, you can have that kind of a perception. Yeah. Just like, you know, sometimes you look at the monkey. The monkey is so afraid of us, you know, right or not? Sometimes afraid, sometimes we go near the, sometimes they are not afraid, sometimes they are afraid. Because of the perception, some kind of past background. We didn't do anything to them. We are harmless. Sometimes the small animal also. So sometimes like that. So be careful with the perception. If you feel like that, don't trust your perception. Just be normal. Be normal. You don't need to judge people by their look or appearance. Don't need. So the nun is asking how to ask forgiveness. So suppose in the past they were in a different community, don't get to be among the sangha. So how to ask forgiveness? Which is the best way to ask forgiveness? Actually, if you happen to say bad about Dhamma, like as an example, she quote is about. And sometimes we say that this is the era, difficult to practice jhana, magapala, things like that. That's not so serious, but if you want to ask forgiveness from the Buddha Dhamma Sangha, go in front of the Buddha image, and then you best with the Sangha present and say that I commit this kind of wrong, and please, I ask for forgiveness. This is one way. You see, the purpose is to change your mindset. When you criticize something wrongly, your mind is there's kind of a quality, like distancing, rejecting, not incoherent with the Dhamma that you criticize, with the quality that you criticize, with the living Dhamma is a saint. So because of that, if you change, you ask forgiveness, you are like changing your mind quality. But not only that, the other side, sometimes being forgiven is also helpful. Okay. So, the conclusion is that, let's be careful. The best is, regard everyone with respect, regard every Dhamma, don't simply say what we are not sure, don't know. Then simply get into the habits of criticizing things, you know. No benefit at all. So, if you can live a life with this kind of careful attitude, respectful attitude, humble attitude, then you surely can avoid this kind of karma. And get into the habit of sometimes mutual asking for forgiveness, you know. Like this okasa, this also happened. So we finish here. Yidang me punyang. Asawakaya. Wahang ho tu. Yidang me punyang. Nibana sa. Pachaya ho tu. Mama punya bagang. Sabha satana. Bajemi. Te sabbe. Me samang. Punya bagang. Labantu sadu sadu sadu.